Good morning, Bristol Bay, and Merry Christmas from all of us here at KDLG. We hope you and yours are having a nice holiday now that the presents have been opened and breakfast has been served. We invite you to join us for the next hour as students from Dillingham Elementary read from some of their favorite Christmas books. We're grateful for the students and Mr. Tweet and others for helping make this now annual tradition possible.
Christmas. Hi, I'm Emily Elizabeth. This is my dog Clifford. Guess what holiday it is? We start celebrating Christmas on Thanksgiving. Last year we went to the Thanksgiving Day Parade. Clifford loved the big balloons. At the end of the parade, Santa Claus came to town. The Christmas season had begun. Soon it started to snow. My friends and I made a snowman. Clifford made one too. Clifford's snowman looked different. Later we went to the pond to play ice hockey. We were having a great time until we decided that Clifford shouldn't play ice hockey anymore. Christmas was getting closer and closer. We counted the days. One day Clifford saw some men digging up a tree. He thought it would be a nice Christmas tree for us. The tree was too big for our house, but it was just right for Clifford's. When Clifford was taking a nap, my friends and I sneaked up on him with some mistletoe. Surprise! At last, it was Christmas Eve. Clifford and I hung up his stocking. I put some presents under Clifford's tree. That night, when we were sleeping, Santa came. He landed on Clifford's roof. He walked around looking for a chimney. Oops, help, help, get me out of here. Clifford woke up. He heard someone calling for help. Clifford helped. What a surprise. Oh no, the bag of toys had fallen into Clifford's water bowl. The toys were ruined. Clifford felt terrible. He had to do something, so he offered Santa his own Christmas presents to give to the children. Santa smiled and patted Clifford. He told him not to worry. When, with a wave, his magic mittens, Santa made the toys new again. After leaving some toys at my house, Santa got back in his sleigh. He said goodbye to Clifford and away he flew until next year. On Christmas morning, Clifford and I opened our presents. It was a wonderful day. And Clifford is a wonderful dog. He makes every day Christmas Day.
Thank you. My name is Dominic Tweet, and I'm reading Santa Claus, the World's Number One Toy Expert by Marla Frazee. No one knows more about kids than Santa Claus. He is the world's number one kid expert. He meets a lot of kids. He listens to them. He visits with the brave ones who hop right on his lap. He watches the shy ones who don't. And he even has his own Santa Claus way of getting to know kids who never have a chance to meet him in person. He takes a lot of notes, complies all of his research, and works long, long hours the whole year round. Nothing makes him happier. No one knows more about toys than Santa Claus. He is the world's number one toy expert. He finds the best toys in the world. He makes sure they're fun to play with. He checks out to see if they're sturdy or not. He even has his own Santa Claus way of making the cozy toys become extra special. He carefully inspects each toy, makes the final selections, and works long, long hours the whole year round. He loves his job. No one knows more about gifts than Santa Claus. He's the world's number one gift expert. When is it almost Christmas, Santa thinks it's very hard about all the kids he knows so well. He thinks very hard about all the toys he's played with. He works carefully to match up each particular toy with each particular kid. He changes his mind many times, and after hours and hours of hard work, he gets it all figured out. And then on Christmas morning, Santa Claus gives the exact right toy to the exact right kid. 99.9% of the time. That's almost always. Well, no one is perfect, not even Santa Claus. Then when the day is all over and all his work is finished, Santa Claus goes home and unwraps the special gift he picked out for himself. And it's almost always exactly what he wanted. The end.
My name is August Ray, and I am going to read A Cookie for Santa by Stephanie Shaw, illustrated by Bruno Robert. 'Twas the night before Christmas, and there on a plate was a gingerbread boy awaiting his fate. The children had baked him and dressed him with care, using currants for eyes and icing for hair. They knew that Saint Nick would, with his overstuffed pack, would be sorely in need of a fine midnight snack. The Christmas tree sparkled, strands of lights glimmered, snowflakes and garlands all glittered and shimmered. The gingerbread boy, despite all his beauty, nervously pondered his Christmas Eve duty. Later that evening, when he'd be devoured, would he be brave or a crumbly coward? Bursting into the room, "Is all this for us?" Two puppies came bounding and started a fuss. They leaped and they snapped and they played tug-of-war. They pounced and they pawed and they ripped and they tore. The gingerbread boy thought, "What can be done? These puppies are having the wrong kind of fun." He knew to save Christmas, he need to take action. "I'll make myself into a doggy distraction. Come, Rascal, come, Rudy," he called them by name. "I'll show you a much better Christmas Eve game." "A biscuit," they barked with howling dog joy. "One that can talk, it's a gingerbread boy." And what he did next made the naughty pups stop. "Look at me," Cookie cried. "I can spin like a top." He twirled and he spun until he was dizzy, keeping those exuberant puppies quite busy. Tails wagging, tongues drooling. The pups were interested while the gingerbread boy deliciously danced. But the gingerbread boy just spun around and around till those young puppies at last settled down. A jingling of Christmas bells came from outside. It's Santa, the puppies yiped. Woof, let's hide. Would Santa Claus start with his legs or his head? Would he nibble his arms or his buttons instead? Santa said, "Oh, my radar. There was trouble reported. Can you lend me a hand getting all of this sorted?" The gingerbread boy helped jolly Saint Nick. With morning approaching, they had to be quick. Then the work was all done. Cookie climbed on the dish. He looked at the stars and made one Christmas wish. Then he heard Santa say, "We make a great team. Come hop in my sleigh. There are more homes to visit before Christmas Day. I need you for a duty up at the North Pole." Toy soldiers saluted and gave a drum roll. Christmas morning, the children found gifts and a note in festive green ink. "Santa Claus, I searched the world over and found at this stop a perfect night watchman to mind my toy shop. And for those pups that created a mess, I've left something special for them. Can you get gift certificate good to the puppy obedience school?" The end.
I am Liam, and I am going to be reading The Gingerbread Man, retold by Tim Aylesworth, illustrated by Barbara McClintoff. Once upon a time, there was a little old man and a little old woman. One day, the little old woman said, "Let's make a gingerbread man." "Yes, let's do," said the little old man, and they did. So they mixed up the batter, and they rolled out the dough. And they shaped the little arms, and they shaped the little legs, and they shaped the little head. And with raisins, they made the little eyes and the little nose and the mouth. And then with a sugar glaze, they dressed him in a fancy suit of clothes. When all was set, they put the gingerbread man into the oven, and they waited. Pretty soon, a delicious smell was coming from the oven that told them that the gingerbread man was ready, and so were they. But when they opened the oven door, out popped the gingerbread man, and he ran across the floor. The little old man and the little old woman could hardly believe their eyes. The gingerbread man looked up at them, put his little hands on his hips, and said, "Run, run, fast as you can. You can't catch me, I'm the gingerbread man." The little old man reached down to grab him, but quick as a wink, the little gingerbread man ran out the door, down the road, and the little old man and the little old woman ran after him. "Come back, come back," they yelled. But the gingerbread man just looked over his shoulder and said, "No, no, I won't come back. I'd rather run than be your snack." And he kept on running. And he ran, and he ran, and he ran. And after a time, he met a butcher standing in the front of his shop. The gingerbread man looked up at him, put his little hands on his hips, and said, "Run, run, fast as you can. You can't catch me, I'm the gingerbread man. I've run from a husband, I've run from a wife, and I'll run from you too. I can, I can." The butcher reached down to grab him, but quick as a wink, the gingerbread man ran down the road and the butcher ran after him. "Come back," yelled the butcher, and not far behind, the little old man and the little old woman were yelling too. "Come back, come back." But the gingerbread man looked over his shoulder and said, "No, no, I won't come back. I'd rather run than be your snack." And he kept on running, and he ran, and he ran, and he ran. And after a time, he met a black and white cow. The gingerbread man looked up at her, put his little hands on his hips, and said, "Run, run, fast as you can. You can't catch me." And the gingerbread man, "I'll run from a husband, I'll run from a wife, I'll run from a butcher with a carving knife, and I'll run from you too. I can, I can." The black and white cow reached out to grab him, but quick as a wink, the gingerbread man ran down the road, and the black and white cow ran after him. "Come back," yelled the black and white cow. And not far behind, the little old man and the little old woman and the butcher with the knife were yelling too. "Come back, come back." But the gingerbread man looked over his shoulder and said, "No, no, I won't come back. I'd rather run than be your snack." And he kept on running, and he ran, and he ran, and he ran. And after a time, he met a muddy old sow. The gingerbread man looked up at her, put his hands on his hips, and said, "Run, run, as fast as you can. You can't catch me. I'm the gingerbread man. I've run from a husband. I've run from a wife. I've run from a butcher with a carving knife. I've run from a cow all black and white. I'll run from you, too. I can, I can." The muddy old sow reached out to grab him, but quick as a wink, the gingerbread man ran down the road, and the muddy old sow ran after him. "Come back," they yelled. Yelled the muddy old sow. And not far behind, the little old woman and the little old man and the butcher with his knife and the black and white cow were yelling too. "Come back, come back, come back, come back." But the gingerbread man looked over his shoulder and said, "No, no, I won't come back. I'd rather run than be your snack." And he kept on running. And he ran, and he ran, and he ran. And after a time, he met a fox. The gingerbread man looked up at him, put his little hands on his hips, and said, "Run, run, fast as you can. You can't catch me. I'm the gingerbread man. I've run from a husband. I've run from a wife. I've run from a butcher with a carving knife. I've run from a cow and a muddy old sow, and I'll run from you, too. I can, I can." "What did you say?" asked the fox. The tricky fox pretended that he couldn't hear well. "I'm not as young as I used to be," he said. "You'll have to come closer and speak louder." The gingerbread man stepped closer, and in a very loud voice he said, "Run, run, fast as you can. You can't catch me. I'm the gingerbread man. I've run from a husband. I've run from a wife. I've run from a butcher with the carving knife. I've run from a cow and a muddy old sow. And I'll run from you too. I can, I can." Just then, the little old man and the little old woman and the butcher with the knife and the black and white cow and the muddy old sow came running around and turned in the road. And they were yelling, "Come back, come back, come back. Come back, come back." The gingerbread man looked over his shoulder, but before he could say a single word, the fox jumped up and grabbed him. And quick as a wink, before he could think, with a snap and a snick and a lap and a lick, the gingerbread man was gone. The little old man, the little old woman, and the butcher with the knife, and the black and white cow, and the muddy old sow all stood and stared sadly at the fox. He hadn't left a single crumb for anyone. Riddle, riddle, ran, fiddle, fiddle, fan, so ends the tale of the gingerbread man.
Aspen Miller, and I'm reading Little Miss Christmas by Roger Hargreaves, and I'm in third grade. Little Miss Christmas lives in an igloo at the North Pole, next to her Uncle Santa Claus and a long, long way from her brother Mr. Christmas. Little Miss Christmas works for Santa Claus. Her job is wrapping all the presents before Santa delivers them on Christmas Eve. As you might imagine, there are an awful lot of presents to wrap. It takes her all year long. As much as Little Miss Christmas loves her job, there are times when wrapping presents day in and day out can get a bit boring. Last year, after nearly a whole year buried in wrapping paper and sticky tape, Little Miss Christmas decided she deserved a vacation. She had nearly finished wrapping all the presents and thought that it would not do any harm for Santa to wrap the last few himself. To make it easier for him, she called her brother at the South Pole and asked him to come and help. Mr. Christmas flew up to the North Pole in his magic flying teapot on the day Little Miss Christmas left for her vacation. I won't be back until the day before Christmas Eve, so you have to make sure you finish wrapping the last of the presents. Little Miss Christmas reminded them just before she boarded her plane. Don't worry, boomed Santa Claus. We've got plenty of time. We'll have them all wrapped long before you return. The next morning, after a breakfast of Christmas pudding on toast, Santa led Mr. Christmas into the wrapping room, and they set to work. This isn't going to take any time at all, said Santa Claus. An hour later, in fact, we've got plenty of time left. How about a game of golf? Good idea, said Mr. Christmas. And so the two of them played golf for the rest of the day. The following morning, they settled down to work, but after an hour, Santa Claus piped up again. How about going reindeer racing? We've got plenty of time left to do this. Good idea, agreed Mr. Christmas, and the two of them spent the rest of the day racing reindeer across the ice. The next day, they did not even reach the wrapping room. We've still got plenty of time to finish that wrapping. Shall we go fishing today? Suggested Santa Claus at breakfast. Good idea, said Mr. Christmas eagerly. And so it continued. While Little Miss Christmas laid on a beach in the Christmas Islands, where else? Was fully unaware of what was going on. Santa Claus and Mr. Christmas were spending a lot of time having fun and very little time wrapping presents. So you will not be surprised to learn that the wrapping had not been finished by the time Little Miss Christmas had returned from her vacation. What have you two been doing all this time? Exclaimed Little Miss Christmas when she saw a huge pile of unwrapped presents. Santa Claus and Mr. Christmas sheepishly stayed their feet, unable to look Little Miss Christmas in the eye. How are we ever going to get all this done by tomorrow evening? She continued angrily. It was then that she suddenly had an idea, a brilliant idea. We can ask the Mr. Men and Little Misses to help us, and you can go pick them up in your teapot, she cried, pointing at Mr. Christmas. By the time Mr. Christmas had collected as many of the Mr. Men and Little Misses as he could find, and he brought them to the North Pole. They all worked right through the night, although Little Miss Christmas had to be careful about which job she gave them. Mr. Bump was only allowed to wrap teddy bears because he kept breaking all the other presents he was given, and Little Miss Bossy had to keep him careful on Little Miss Naughty to stop her from wrapping nasty surprises in her presents. Not everything went quite as planned. Mr. Muddle kept writing Happy Easter on the labels, and Little Miss Helpful tried to be very hard to be helpful but got into a lot of trouble with the sticky tape. Mr. Forgetful kept forgetting to put his presents in his boxes, and there was no mistaking the presents wrapped by Mr. Messing. However, by lunchtime on Christmas Eve, all of the presents were wrapped and labeled and packaged away in Santa Claus's sleigh. Thank you so much, said Little Miss Christmas to everyone. I don't know what we could have done without your help. There would have been a lot of empty spaces under a lot of Christmas trees. Now we just need Santa Claus. Has anyone seen him? But nobody had. Eventually, Little Miss Christmas found him playing cards with Mr. Christmas, of course. Quick, quick, she cried. You're going to be late. Don't worry, chuckled Santa. We've got plenty of time.
Deck the halls with balls of holly. La 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 la. Tis the season to be jolly. Fa la 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 la. Don we now our gay apparel. Fa la 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 la. Troll the ancient yuletide carol. Fa la 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 la. See the blazing yule before us. Fa la 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 la. Strike the harp and join the chorus. Fa la 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 la. Follow me in merry measure. Fa la 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 la. While I tell you yuletide treasure, la 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 la. Vast away the old passes, la 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 la. Hail the new yields and lasses, fa la 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 la. Sing we joyous all together, fa la 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 la. Heedless of the wind and weather, fa la 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 la.
My name is Honor Andrew, and I'm reading It's Christmas, David, by David Channon. At Christmas, everyone always says, "No, David, no peeking, no snatching. Those are not toys. Santa's watching you. Be patient. Hurry up. David, naughty list, naughty list, naughty list. Santa's going to bring you a lump of cold. Don't start yet. Seat your grandmother. No yawning at the dinner table. That's the wrong fork. Sit up straight. Don't reach. Put your napkin in your lap. Get your elbows off the table. No, David, you may not open one early. Go to sleep, David. No Christmas for you, David. Dear David, sorry you were naughty. Love, Santa Claus. Wake up, David, you were dreaming. Yes, David, it's Christmas. Dear David, Merry Christmas. Love, Santa Claus. Bye-bye.
Hi, my name is Kristen Beltran, and I'll be reading Who's That Knocking on Christmas Eve by Jan Brett. High above the Arctic Circle, in the land of ice and snow, the northern lights shimmer in the night like a curtain of color hanging from the sky. The air is so crisp and clear in the northern place that one Christmas Eve long ago, a boy from Finnmark on his way to Oslo with his ice bear could see smoke curling from a hot bar in the distance. He was cold and hungry, so he headed toward it. Far off in another direction, someone else smelled the smoke, and even though he couldn't see it, he raced off to tell the others. As the boy from Finnmark made his way toward the hut, Kiri was inside feeding the fire that made the smoke that roasted and baked the fine food. Delicious, delicious sausage and fish and tasty buns and cakes were all laid out on a pine table. Sweet porridge bubbled over the fire, and apple cider stayed cool on the windowsill. So why did Kiri jump at every creak in the sod roof? And why did she run to the window when an icicle fell into the snow? It was because in years past on Christmas Eve, trolls came when they smelled the delicious aromas coming from the hut. They would pound on the door until it burst open, and they wouldn't leave until they had eaten up every bit of the Christmas Eve meal. No troll invasion this year, Kiri's father had said. I'm going up to the mountain to watch and chase them away. And off he had gone to stop the trouble before it began. So this year, Kiri was alone in the hut when she heard a soft sound at the door. Knockety knock, knockety knock. Someone was out there, but surely it was too polite and not to knock for a troll. Kiri went to the door and peeked out. There was the boy from Finnmark and his ice bear. "Please let me inside to warm up," he said. "I'm on my way to south to show off my bear for townsfolk of Oslo. I've many frosty miles behind me and many more to go." "Come in," Kiri said. "But I have to warn you that in years past, our house has been invaded by a pack of hungry trolls." "Trolls would be a welcome adventure," the boy said. So he came in, and the ice bear crawled under the warm stove and fell asleep. Kiri and the boy had just settled down in front of the fire when they heard, not so softly this time, knockety-knock, knockety-knock. "There's no one home," the boy called out. He was certain it was the trolls, so he pushed the big chest in front of the door. When all was quiet, Kiri and the boy sat down in front of the fire again. Kiri got to thinking, "I wonder if the porridge is creamy enough." and she ladled a bit of it into the bowls for each of them. They had just raised their bowls when they heard a loud knockety-knock, knockety-knock. It was as if someone was pounding on the door with a big rock. "No one at home," the boy from Finnmark shouted as he ran to lock all the windows. It was quiet again, but the delicious smell wafted around the hut. Carrie got to thinking, "Is the sausage salty enough?" She took a piece for herself and gave one to the boy. They had just raised their forks, and when they heard a thunderous knockety-knock, knockety-knock, the hut shook, and they heard a loud crack. It was the cellar trap door splintering open. Carrie and the boy ran to the animal shed and pulled the door shut just as a torrent of noisy trolls burst up from the cellar. They were bat-eared trolls. They were bug-eared trolls. And each troll was wilder and more ruckus than the one before. They munched and grunted, shrieked and crackled, splashed the cider, and crammed themselves with Christmas cakes. Then when they were through stuffing themselves, they tumbled about, pinching each other, stamping on one another's toes, and tweaking their long snouts, which is how trolls have a good time. But though the ruckus and din, the littlest troll spied the ice bear under the stove. He took the hot morsel of sausage and had been roasting in the fire and screeched, "Have a bit of sausage, kitty!" And he poked the sleeping bear's nose with it. The ice bear leaped up, and with a tremendous roar, his nose burning trembly, growling, he chased the little troll and all the big trolls around the table, up the walls, and out the windows. "Scratch them, kitty!" Carrie and the boy cheered as they watched the troll scramble off through the ice and snow howling. Up the hill, Carrie's father heard the shout, so he raced down on his skis. When he saw the trolls, Carrie's father could not tell in an instant that they would want to be as far away from the little hut as they could be. "Goodbye, trolls," he shouted as they disappeared up the mountain, and he skied home. "What a fine bear you have," he told the boy from Finnmark. "Thank you for scaring away those pesky trolls. You must come back next year for a real Christmas Eve feast on your way home from Oslo." And they all sat down for some porridge. A year later, Carrie was on the mountain, gathering wood to make the fire to cook their dinner for Christmas Eve, when the littlest troll popped out from behind a snowbank. "Missy," he called in a high, cracky voice, "do you still have that kitty that sleeps under the stove?" "Oh, yes," Carrie said. "Only she was grown up into a big cat now, and she had 7 kittens, all larger and fiercer than herself." "Ah," he screeched, "then we won't be visiting your hut on Christmas Eve." And he disappeared into a huge snow drift.
Hi, my name is Layla Gross, and I'm in first grade, and I'm in Miss Starr's class, and I'm going to read The Littlest Elf. Oliver was a little elf, and he lived with his family in the North Pole. There were many elves in Santa's village, but Oliver was the littlest one. It was Christmas, and Oliver was excited. This year, he would discover a special job at one of Santa's workshops. He just needed to visit each shop to see which one was the right fit. At the toy workshop there where his mother worked, Oliver tried to make cuddly teddy bears, but he got lost in the huge stuffing pile. Oliver and Elf asked. Oliver's mom said, "I think you are too little for the toy workshop. Why don't you help your dad at the bicycle workshop instead?" So Oliver went to Santa's bicycle workshop. "I'm ready to help," he said. Oliver watched as the elves added wheels and seats and handlebars and bells. But the tools were very big for Oliver's little hands. "Maybe baking is your special job, Oliver's dad told him. You should visit your brother at the bakery next. Off Oliver went to the bakery. These elves made sugar plum cookies and candy cane squares. Oliver, look out, one of the elves shouted. He fell into the giant mixing bowl. Sorry, Ollie, his brother said. You are too little for the bakery. Maybe your special job is a bookmaker's shop. Oliver arrived at the last of Santa's workshops where his sister worked. The bookmarkers there, they wrote amazing stories and drew wonderful pictures. Can I help? Oliver asked. Of course, the elves replied. But the ink pot was kind of tough to reach, and the stack of paper was very tall. Oh, Ollie, his sister cried. Bookmaking is harder and messier than it looked. Oliver wandered through the North Pole. He was sad. Oliver knew there had to be a special job he could do even if he was little. Then he heard the sound of hooves clattering at the stables. Inside, a herd of reindeer had gathered to meet Dot, the new reindeer. She was just little like Oliver. Dot was very excited to help fly Santa's sleigh. She practiced for the big night by jumping and hopping and leaping, but she could not fly. The reindeer's mama gave her a gentle kiss. Dot was still too little. Dot looked very sad. Oliver wanted to cheer her up and dug in his pockets to find a treat for Dot. But inside he found little trinkets from each workshop he had visited. Just then he had an idea. Oliver and Dot used the tiny treasures to make ornaments, cards, and fun decorations for all the hard-working elves in the village. The littlest elf and the littlest reindeer filled a sleigh with their Christmas treats. They delivered the presents to all the workshops. The elves loved their special gifts. Soon Santa came to see what all the fuss was about. He watched as Oliver and Dot made everyone smile. Suddenly, Santa had an idea. Oliver and Dot, he said, with your big hearts and great Christmas cheer, won't you be my very important helpers this year? Oliver and Dot had found their special jobs after all, but more important, they had each found a special friend.
Austin Logan, and I will be reading The Last Christmas Tree by Stephen Krensky. Almost exactly a month before Christmas, the trees arrived for the holiday. On the day before, the lot had been empty. Now it was full to bursting. The difference was almost like magic. There were balsam firs, spruces, and pines. They all lined up neatly at a slight tilt. In the middle of one row, wedged between two bushier companions, one particular tree trembled with excitement. It was not very tall and, in truth, a bit hunched over, not to mention the branches that were missing here and there. Still no tree was more filled with the spirit of the season. Surely everyone would see that at once. The little tree could hardly wait to get picked up. What a moment that would be. It imagined itself covered with lights and ornaments, with presents tucked in snugly underneath. The other trees didn't seem to care about who picked them out or how long it took. But the little tree kept its hopes up high. It wanted some special someone who was excited about Christmas as it was. As the days passed, the trees were sold one by one. A few people made up their minds in an instant. They knew what they wanted, and that was that. Others went back and forth and back and forth for what seemed like hours, and sometimes it was. One family pulled out the little tree for a closer look, but they were laughing meanly and shaking their heads the whole time. The little tree was secretly glad when they left behind. As time went on, the remaining trees were spread out, the better to show themselves off. No longer hemmed in, the little tree tried to stand up straight and puff itself out as much as possible, but nobody seemed to notice. The lot got emptier and emptier. The few unsold trees found their prices marked down again and again and again. On Christmas Eve, the little tree looked to left and right. It was all alone. A sign was hung on it with really big letters, "Free." It wasn't an ornament, not really, but the tree chose to think otherwise. The night was cold and clear, and the little tree got rather sleepy. Just before dawn, it heard jingling sound, but it was hard to be sure. Jingle, 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 jingle. The next thing the tree knew, it was gently picked up and placed into an empty sack. This wasn't what the tree expected at all. Then the earth fell away. Far below, the other trees were covered in all their finery. The little tree had no idea where it was going or how long the journey would take. But when it arrived at last, the little Christmas tree was finally home.